Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. We believe that that is true, that whether it's sunny or rainy or snowing or whatever's going on in life, that God meets us right where we live. And so I would love for us to begin by bowing our heads and talking to Him. God, thank you. Thank you for inviting us into this time and place. Whether we're here in the room, whether we're connecting online, God, right now is a moment where we're hoping to connect with you. We're hoping that this is true, that there really is a God who made us and loves us and who invites us to meet with him. So please, God, would you use everything we do in this coming hour, the songs that we sing, the prayers we pray, the scriptures we read, the stories we hear, the table we gather around. God, use all of it to connect us to you. Help us, God, to bring all that we carry with us to you today. To bring to you our needs as well as our thanks and our praise. So that your grace can impact our lives. So that your spirit can move us and change us. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this confident in your love because you've shown it to us in Jesus. Pray it in his name. Amen. If you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. Never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, and he never let me down. He's faithful. draws near and my time has come. This comes by special request, but I'm also thankful because it's one of my favorite songs. And I thought that you guys would have done this a long time ago in here, but now that we're going to, you know, break the seal on that, we're going to do it a lot more often. So you might already know it. If you do, please sing along.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we are so thankful for the power that's in your name. Power to break chains, Lord, that some we don't even realize hold us back and hold us down and keep us oppressed. Whether those chains are our past, our present, fear for our future, Lord, whatever it is that binds us and keeps us from being all that you would have us to be, Lord, There's power in your name to break those chains. Chains of addiction, chains of depression, chains of suicide, Lord. Chains of anxiety, chains of fear. Whatever it is, Lord, there is power in your name and your name alone to break those generational patterns, to break those things, Lord, that keep us apart from you. Thank you, Lord, that you have that power, and all we need, Lord, is to call upon you. All we need to do is call on your name. You are all sufficient for anything and everything that we face. And you've given us a path, you've shown us a way, Lord, that we can have those chains broken in our lives. We are so thankful this morning for that truth, Lord. We don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live in fear of what may come or in shame of what has happened in the past. You give us victory over all of those things in your name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you this morning also, as we look to the Veterans Day holiday in just a couple of days. I thank you for the men and women who have sacrificially served our country, for their families who have missed their service member during birthdays and holidays and other special occasions, Lord, some of them missing them forever. Lord, I pray for wisdom for our country's leaders, our military leaders right now, as they look to a future generations of veterans. Give them wisdom. Guide them and lead them. Give them insight and direction. May they have ears to hear what it is you say to them, Lord. Again, we are so thankful. We give you honor and glory and praise, Lord, for the way you are working in our lives, working in those things in our lives that Lord, we just don't see a way through. And we thank you for those places where you have already brought victory to us. And we thank you ahead of time for the victories that you are already working in our lives. And we pray these things, giving you honor and glory and blessing, as we pray them in your name. Amen and amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. While you guys are finding your seats, I want to say a quick hi to all of you joining us online. Hi, I'm Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here, and we're glad you're with us. I hope you'll drop us a note and let us know you were worshiping with us today. And if there's any way that you'd like to privately communicate with us, same thing goes for all of us in the room, you can go to that link on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, for a digital connect card. Or if you're in the room, you can grab one of those little green cards back there, jot your note, drop it in the offering box. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there as well. Or you can give online, or the QR code, or all that good stuff. All those different ways that people have to give. Thank you to those of you who give so generously. And if you want to give to the Habitat house that's being built right now up in Portage, you can do that. You can either give to the Habitat Fund by writing Habitat on your envelope, or hitting that on the drop-down, giving online. Or you can just follow the link to PorterCountyHabitat.org, and you can give directly to them. And then that way they can stay in touch with you about updates and things like that, too. Once you give them your information, you can find out more about what's going on. And I did want to let you know, too, we've been praying for Don and Darlene Peters as Don had entered hospice. He did pass away this past Friday. And so his services will be this coming Friday. And if you'd like to be a part of those, 11 to 1 is the visitation over at Moeller. It's not here. It's over at Moeller. And then the service will be at 1 o'clock. So please continue to pray for his wife, Darlene, their daughter, Dee, and all of their family as they are grieving Don's being absent from us here, being present with the Lord. In fact, before we dive into this morning's message, could we bow our heads one more time? I'd love for us to pray again together. Thank you, God, for the faithful witness of folks like Don, who endure suffering and who finish the race well. We do pray for his wife, Darlene, for their family. And God, we are grateful that we have every confidence that you have received Don well into your presence. He is celebrating today with you. Thank you that we get the opportunity every Sunday to kind of join together with the church around the world and throughout time in celebrating your goodness to us, in listening for your voice speaking through the scriptures, connecting with the God who made us and loves us. So help us today, God, to be tuned into you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some of you saw the title I put on the top of this morning's message, Jars of Clay, and you've just been thinking, you've had songs running through your head ever since, because there was a good band, I thought, back in the, what was that, 90s, maybe sometime in the 90s, a good Christian band called Jars of Clay that got pretty popular, and the title comes from a verse we're going to look at today in 2 Corinthians, and we're also going to hear a story in a little bit from Romeo, our youth director, but first, most of the scriptures today come from 2 Corinthians. It reminded me, we were just in 2 Corinthians like a month ago as we were talking about giving and finances and all of that. It's one of my favorite verse in the Bible about giving, and I just saw it again today on the offering box back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each person should give what they decided in their hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And since that was in my head, I just wanted to thank you guys again. During that series, you know, there was one Sunday where I just mentioned, gave you an update on the church and how we're doing and that we're behind budget for the year and that we've got some big projects and things. And some of you guys have found new ways to be generous since then. So thank you to all of you who've been giving above and beyond what you normally give to make sure that we can continue the mission that God's given us here. Just wanted to say that real quick since we're looking at this letter that Paul writes to these Corinthian Christians. But he starts it in chapter 1, some of the first words out of his mouth, off his pen. Yeah. Yes. She did get transferred to a nursing home? Oh, okay. All right. Cindy's asking me to highlight for you. Her name is on the back in here, and among the many list of people with health issues, a young woman named Monica, to be asking you to be praying for her. She's some of you have met her when she would come to our like picnics and things like that. She's in a wheelchair, can't really speak or anything like that. It's a big, fancy kind of a wheelchair that she needs. And she's been in the hospital, maybe entering hospice care. They're talking with them this week. She's been transferred from the hospital to a nursing home. So, yes, please do be praying for Monica and for her parents. And yeah.
I want to pray for John, and I want to pray for Lisa.
Okay.
Because still can't be around
yet. Okay. Yep. And Diane was asking us to make sure we pray for her friend John and for her roommate Linda. Linda's been having trouble getting around. That's why we haven't seen her here on Sundays very often.
No.
Of course, of course. There are lots of people to pray for, yeah, including my dad, yeah, who thankfully came through a very successful surgery this past week. We're very grateful for that. All right. Anybody else got anything they needed to get off their chest or ask us to pray for? Okay, all right. Paul starts this letter, some of the first words off his pen are these in chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." He's just saying, look, Christ suffered. Right? When he was on this planet, when he lived this human life, Jesus suffered. He suffered relational abandonment. He suffered all the emotional difficulties of knowing he was facing death and all the struggles that came with his confrontation of the religious establishment and of Rome. He suffered physically in his beatings and his death. And so when we suffer, we know that Christ is with us. We share in the sufferings of Christ, and also we share then in comfort through Christ. And he says that God comforts us. He helps us through our troubles so then we can help others. And that's something that I know has been true for many of us here in this place, especially as we're on this topic of mental health this month. those of you who have dealt with health issues, mental health, physical health, all sorts of issues, when you go through something and God helps you through it, and then you meet somebody else going through a similar trouble, I've seen you over and over again come alongside them and say, oh man, I know what that's like. I faced that same addiction. I faced that same disease. I faced that same struggle. Here's how God helped me through it. Here's how God can help you through it. It's a beautiful thing when God redeems our pain and our suffering by not only comforting us through it, but also then helping us turn around and comfort others as they go through it. Which is why Paul, a few verses later, says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. He says, we want you to know about the difficulties we faced, about the troubles we went through. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. He says, things got so bad, it pushed us way beyond what we could handle. We thought we were going to die. He says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He's like, he's stronger than death, right? So even if we are at the point of despair, the point of death, God is bigger than that. It says, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. He's expressing confidence in God that no matter what trouble we go through, no matter what hardship, no matter how close to death we may feel, says, you know, God sees us through. God sustains us. He's delivered us so far. We're confident he's going to continue to deliver us as you help us. He's realizing, like, I'm not in this alone. I've got your support. I've got your help, and I need that so that God can continue to deliver us. I mentioned last week that as staff, as we've been talking about this, one reason we thought we wanted to surface this issue of mental health and talk about it, bring it out of the, sometimes it's left in the darkness, we feel like we can't talk about it. We want to get that conversation out and started because it's something that we've dealt with, right? And Romeo had this amazing story he was telling me and telling us. And so, Romeo, come on up. He's going to share some of his story, some of his experiences with you, and I think you'll find it very encouraging and helpful.
Thanks, everybody. So it's been a long journey to get to this person you guys see today. I've shared my story with people individually, so bear with me because this is really the first time I've shared part of my story up front and in front of everybody, at least this part. So for a better part of over 10 years, I struggled with depression and suicide to the point of planned attempts, struggles with this, and multiple times going to attempt. And for years, I always had this plan for my life where I thought, okay, I was kind of fed this, like, hey, you're our family's way out, right? So I'm from humble beginnings. You know, my family, we had been homeless at one point. We struggled through all these things. And so I was told, like, hey, you're the family's way out. And people fed me this for years. And when I realized that my life wasn't going in the direction I thought it was, I lost my identity. I felt like, well, hold on. If I can't accomplish what I thought my whole life's purpose was, then what's the point? And so for, like I said, 10 plus years, I struggled with this identity, this battle within me where it was a continuous fight of making plans to just end it because I thought it wasn't worth it anymore if I can't accomplish this. And there were times where I had, you know, some seasons of peace. You know, I talked to Pastor about this where as I was going through ministry school, I kind of had this season of peace, and but that just didn't add up to what I thought it was, you know. And essentially, I was told because of some of the struggles I had, because of the things I was going through, that I wasn't living my Christianity right, that I wasn't doing Christianity right. And so I slipped back into this real bad struggle of identity again, because if I couldn't accomplish this, and then I was trying to do this, and I was told, hey, you're not doing this right either. It's like, wow, here I am again. And so I buried myself in all these worldly things, right? Making as much money as I could. Nice cars, nice things, you know, really kind of this, you know, flaunting life. And a lot of people didn't know that every single day I was praying to get to the next day. I struggled every single day with just wanting to end it all. And multiple times getting very close, making plans, even getting ready to walk out my door, and something would happen. Someone would call, someone, whatever it may be, and I'd say, oh, okay, I guess I'll pick up the phone for this person today. And so I continued to pray every day, Lord, get me to tomorrow. Get me to tomorrow. And I just still struggled, to be honest with you guys. Every day it was a struggle for me. I made plans. There were times where, you know, to be honest, I would go through and I would beef up my life insurance to make sure, well, okay, I'm going to beef up my life insurance, make sure my family's all right, because, you know, this is it. This is where I call it. And I would make another plan. Oh, okay, if I do it this way, then it'll look like an accident and my family will still be taken care of. And I would prepare to do whatever it was. And through these struggles, though, a little bit differently than some, I wasn't in therapy, and I really probably should have been. Did I need medication? Yeah, probably. For me, it was just a little bit different. I felt like I just had to lean in, and so I started praying. I spent a lot of time in worship. That last song, Power in the Name of Jesus, I would play that song on repeat and just pray that God would get me to the next day. And I would just listen to that nonstop. And I finally started going, God, who am I? Who am I? What is the purpose of all this? And that's when I felt like God really gave me some peace and told me that this is a part of my story. It's a part of my testimony. I need to share this. And that's where I started getting peace again, was when I realized that there are other people out there that are struggling with this, and I had carried this so long, and I had hid it because of this taboo as a Christian, especially someone, to be honest with you, someone who went through ministry school, got a degree in theology, and here I am struggling every day with depression and suicide. I thought, man, if people found this out, they'll discredit me. They'll discredit everything. They won't accept me. And so I just carried it. And but then God told me, you need to share it. This is part of who you are. And he started sending me people who were struggling with these things. And I finally started to share with people and open up about it, talk about the struggles of suicide for over 10 years on my life. And I got peace. And so I wanted to talk about that today because, like I said, it was a long journey for me to get to who you guys know today. And it was through leaning in on Christ, always continuing to say, okay, God, you got to do something with this. And just, like I said, leaning on it, worshiping, praying, and just going, God, can you get me to tomorrow? If you can get me to tomorrow, then maybe I'll get to the next one. So I just wanted to say thank you guys for allowing me to share part of my story and just encourage you guys, if it's not taboo to be a Christian who's struggling with these things, it's all right. But what's not all right is to go at it alone when there's people here that understand. Lean on the people around you. Surround yourself, you know, with people from your church and your community. And if anybody is here that has these struggles, I'm up here talking about it. So if you guys want to talk to someone who understands that fight and that struggle, I'm always open to talking and praying with anybody about it.
Oh, man. Oof. Yeah, that's the short version of the story. There are so many details that he had to leave out, including just like you were your family's ticket out because you were going to play football. Yeah, I mean, if any of you don't know, he was a good football player in high school, and then played a little bit in college, and then injuries and other things realized, oh, that's not going to happen. And probably many of us have faced that kind of thing where we realize, oh, life is not turning out the way I thought it would. And sometimes that is a combination of factors, and that's the one that pushes us over an edge, and we find ourselves despairing. We find ourselves dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts and those kinds of things. And like Romeo said, you know, you're not in this alone. We talked about that last week with that story of Elijah. He thought he was the only one left, and God had to let him know, no, there's still 7,000 people back in Israel who are trusting me and following me. You are not alone in this. God delivers us. I'm so thankful that God delivered you. I'm looking back at that passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. I know last week as we were leaving, Missy made sure that said something I should have said during the service. Like, if you're struggling with this and you don't know anybody else to call, 988 is a fantastic resource. Pick up the phone, call 988, text, send a text to 988. Someone will answer. Someone will talk with you and help connect you with resources that are available. It's difficult, I know, because some of the things that you struggle with also then like push you into isolation. You know, it's like part of the disease, part of the struggle is that it isolates you. And you just got to find a way to push through that. And maybe it's Romeo having the courage today to talk about the struggles that God has helped him through. If that's what gives you courage, fantastic. Take whatever you can, right, to take a step out of the darkness and toward the light of God's love for you, of the help that's available. By the time you get to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. He says, we don't drop off that edge. We don't lose heart. He said, we would because of all that we've faced, but because God has been merciful, because he's given us a sense of purpose, we don't lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We're willing to live these things out in the open so that people know, so that we give God credit for what he's done. He says a few verses later, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. You know, let there be light. He has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. There's a pastor I know who's really homed in on that last phrase, that the glory of God is seen in the face of Christ. That if you've ever had questions about whether God loves you, if you've felt like maybe God is ashamed of you because of things that were said to you or trauma you experienced in the past that made you feel worthless, made you feel like there's no way anyone could love you, let alone God. And sadly, maybe that happened at the hands of parents or other trusted people who should have been trustworthy. Maybe it came from a pastor who stood up front and said things or did things that made you think you were worthless. If you ever have questions about who God is, really, you look at Jesus. The glory of God is displayed in Christ. And you look at the way Jesus treated those who others pushed aside. You look at the way Jesus lifted up people who were ashamed, people who had been mocked or thrown away by society. The way Jesus did not abandon them, but reached out to them, touched them, loved them, lifted them up. This is who God is. This is what the Bible tells us. You want to know who God is. You want to know what God is really like? You look at Jesus. And he calls this light. Knowing this is light that shines in our hearts. But then he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. He says, we're just these weak little vessels. You know, we get nicks, we get cracks, but there's this light, there's this power from God that fills our hearts, fills our lives. It's not from us, It's God who sustains us, who helps us to endure. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. He says, we have all this suffering, just like Jesus suffered and died, so that his life might sustain us and might be revealed in us. He says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And he goes, it's a little convoluted reading the way he wrote it, but I think it all kind of ties back to that bit in the first chapter where he says, look, just like we suffer and God strengthens us and comforts us and gets us through, now we're able to encourage you when you suffer, when you're persecuted and hard-pressed and perplexed and struck down. God has sustained us. God will sustain you. God has seen us through this. God has given us life. God will give you life. In fact, back in chapter 1, he says, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Back to chapter 4, he says, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, he says again, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, this temporary stuff, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's hard for me to read some of that, because where he says, calls these light and momentary troubles. And I almost kind of wonder if he had a little, like, you know, snicker coming out the side of his mouth as he was writing this, because the troubles he experienced were not light. They were heavy. They were life-threatening. He thought he was going to die, right? But in light of the bigger story of who God is and God's work in the world and throughout eternity and what God has waiting for each and every one of us, he says, man, even these life-threatening things that God's had to deliver us from, in the light of eternity, in the light of God's glory, these things were light, temporary difficulties. It's a little bit like every now and then, it just happened yesterday, the boys were in our little family room, TV room, whatever, and there's curtains, you know, that usually are closed because it opens right onto, like, where people walk by and stuff, anyway, don't always want people staring at you when you're watching TV, or staring at our kids when they're watching TV, and so the curtains are usually closed, which means it can get a little bit dim in there, and, I pulled back the curtains the other day, and I was like, whoa, it is bright, you know, like, the sun is bright, and it made me think, like, it's like the difference between like a flashlight, like the brightest flashlight you can imagine. If all the power went out in here and it was storming outside, so there wasn't the light coming in the windows, it was dark, if it was night, and somebody had a really powerful flashlight, it would look really bright, you know? They shined it in your face, it would blind you. But then you take that flashlight out into the light of day, on a nice, clear, sunny day, and it's like, well, yeah, I guess there's a flashlight there, you know? Like, it just kind of pales next to the brightness of the sun. And that's what he's saying here. He says, the struggles that we face here and now, as overwhelming as they feel to us in the moment, if we can remember God's love for us, if we can remember who we are, if we can get our brains into that bigger picture of all that God has done and all that God will do and our part in it, then the struggle that we face here and now puts in a little different perspective. And if God can raise Jesus from the dead, oh, then he can give us life as well. If he can step into our darkness and shine that light through the light of Christ, then, okay, maybe he can shine some light into my life here And now maybe he really can see me through this dark valley that I'm walking through. That's why I put, again, in your notes, we looked at this last week, just Psalm 23. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I just wanted to read it again. Maybe to help shape our imaginations a little bit. You know, that's part of what Scripture was given to us for. Not just so that we can learn some truths about God or about ourselves, but to help us as we imagine what is life like, as we try to picture who we are, who God is, and where we fit. Scripture can help give us a bigger picture than just what we see in front of us. And I love the picture that the 23rd Psalm gives us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Gives us this picture of God being this good shepherd who loves us and walks with us, who provides for us, who comforts us in the dark times of life. And as I was reading it just now, and I was reading about God being with us in that dark valley and about his rod and his staff that comfort us. You know, these are tools that a shepherd would use to direct the sheep, to fend off attackers, all the rest. It's a tool in God's hands. And I was thinking about something that Romeo said earlier as he was sharing his story, where he was saying, like, you know, I didn't go to therapy. Maybe I should have. You know, when we were talking about it before today, he was like, man, my struggle might have been a lot shorter if I'd just gone ahead and opened up to a therapist about it, you know. Or maybe there could have been medication that would have helped him to, you know, to shorten that struggle a bit, to get him through some of that a little more easily. I was just thinking of the tools that God uses, you know, his rod, his staff, and sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes he uses medical interventions. I think I mentioned last week, I was just talking to another pastor just a couple weeks ago about having to go through a hospitalization for a brief time. He'd gone to the crisis center here in town at Porter Stark because he was having his anxiety, his depression. They were getting the best of him, and he didn't want them to overwhelm him. He wanted to get help. And so he went there, and they helped him to get into a residential place for a period of time where he got healthy. He got well. Now he's doing well, right? He was in a dark valley, and God was with him. And he used tools to comfort him, to see him through. We have this treasure in jars of clay. It is a struggle. But God is faithful. God is good. And he will see us through. I want you to believe that to the point of, like, yeah, having that truth sink deep into your heart, into your bones, so that when those lies the devil tells seem overwhelming about your worth, about the state of the world, those things that make anxiety seem overwhelming or the depression seem too deep, those things that make you think the only way you can kind of keep those things at bay is to turn back to that addiction that you've turned to so many times. I want you to know at the core of who you are loved by the God who made you, who walks with you, who is with you in the dark valley to lead you through, and that he's got people. He's got a rod. He's got a staff. He's got people. He's got tools. He's got things he can use to help you through. Yeah. So for the most part, I'm preaching to the choir, because I haven't talked to you guys. You know this. You've done this. You've been down this road. You've reached out for help. I say this for the one or two of us that maybe haven't been there yet or haven't realized that there are people who care, and to encourage all of us to then be that for others, to renounce the secret ways, to not let our friends be uninformed about the troubles that we experience, so that when they go through things, so that we quit just putting all the good stuff out there, you know, for Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, right? You put the meals that go right out there. You don't put the meals that went wrong, right? You put the things that are good, and sometimes our friends think everything is great. And they don't realize our struggles. They don't realize that if God can get us through, he can get them through. Let's allow God to redeem even our pain, even our difficulties, for the good of others. I'd love to pray for us before we celebrate communion together. God, thank you again for the amazing love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, experiencing all of human existence, including the really, really dark parts of it. You saw the mess that we had made of ourselves and of our relationships and of the world you'd entrusted to us. And instead of condemning us or throwing us away, God, you loved us so much that you came to us, entered right into the midst of it, so that we could not miss your grace and your love. Help us not to miss it today. Help us not to continue to believe the lies that we've been told about ourselves, about you. Help us not to think that, God, you are ashamed of us, or embarrassed of us, or disappointed in us, or angry with us. God, help us to see the face of Christ today, looking our way, to see the compassion that you have for each and every one of us, to see you as a loving Heavenly Father, to see you as a good shepherd who cares for your sheep. Help us to see ourselves as loved by you. Thank you, God. Thank you. In this time, as the seasons change, as the weather changes, as things get cold and dark outside, would you shine your light in our hearts? Though outwardly we feel like we are wasting away, would you renew us inwardly day by day? Give us that strength, that light, that life, that comfort, that hope. God, we are grateful for the opportunity to celebrate this sacrament of communion today. Together with Christians around the world, God, we offer you these simple gifts of bread and juice so that we can sense your grace in a tangible, touchable way. This reminder that your grace connects with us in the real world that we live in. Jesus, you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. You took the cup and said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. So we do remember, Jesus. We remember your love. You lived in this broken world to bring healing and hope and life. Thank you. As we come to you today, we come as people in need of your grace, confessing to you that we need your help. We've not always loved you with our heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always kept our focus on your goodness and your love. We've not always leaned into your strength. Today, God, whatever sin there might be in our lives, whatever guilt or shame from our past, today we lay it all at your feet. We confess it. We name it. And we thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, wash away that guilt and that shame. Make us clean. Make us new. Let your light shine in our hearts today. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that we might be changed from the inside out, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters, sharing with others the same comfort that you have comforted us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. We'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today, who are hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. So let's give him thanks. Let's celebrate.
Oh, that's not right. Sorry. Start over.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written.
Thank you, God. Thank you for the life, for the hope, for the grace that you give. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ so that as we leave this place, we might live as the body of Christ, as ones who carry to others the grace that you've given to us. You are so good, and we are so grateful. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.